Good morning and welcome to all our brothers and sisters in the Lord. A very big welcome to you who are seated here and a few more out at the back, almost not quite here, and to those who are watching online, of course. Celebration point for the past week. Well, I think Anzac Day, obviously. It's a reminder that the freedom that we enjoy may have to be bought, may have to be bought at a very high price. It's a reminder that conflict may come. We don't want it, we don't seek it, but it may come. It's also a reminder that spiritual conflict is here anyway. We are engaged in a struggle between the kingdom of God and the evil in the world. And the kingdom of God will win. Brief announcements for the week ahead. Well, Message Church, obviously, on Sunday the 5th, next Sunday. Let's not just pass over this lightly. This is important. We're looking for people who don't normally come to a church service. We're looking for something to attract them to the Lord. We're looking for all age groups, but children in particular. This is the opportunity we have to get them on the right track, to get them started in life with the Lord. This is where we really put them in the line to become disciples of the Lord. Early days for some of them. Let's just uphold them as we think of them, that they may be given spiritual wisdom beyond their years, these children, the guidance that they need. What other things have we got next week? One minor thing regarding Messy Church. We still need some plywood off cuts, if anyone has some, 6 millimeters maybe. We're running out of time to use these, but I need them for a giant jigsaw. If anyone has some, please see me soon. Coffee and chat on the 7th, loaves and fishes and so on. These are not ho-hum, same old things again and again. These are important. This is part of bringing God's kingdom into the world. We also have a communion class coming up on the 10th. Not a lot more that, it's all in the community news, all that we need to know. Now, just one other thing for this coming week. Jesus asked his disciples, that's me and you watching online, all of us, we have a job to do, to speak of the Lord, to actually introduce him to people who've never heard of him or don't understand him, don't know who he is. It's not a huge task, but it's something Jesus would like us to do this week. Put it on the to-do list this week. Be prepared to give your testimony or just a word or just speak of the Lord in the car park, in the shopping centre, in the men's shed, in the bowling club, in all the places we go. Let us just be prepared to give a word about our Lord. I think he would be pleased if we do that this week and next week. And the week after that. The opening. We give thanks to the Lord. God is good. God made us and all that is. God made this day and this community. Let us come together and remember God is good. Let us come together and sing out, God is good. God is even more than good. He is holy, just, true, forgiving and loving, beyond anything we can imagine. Let us be put right with God in this prayer. God of love, our scriptures say you have given us your Spirit. You have breathed life into us. Your Spirit is life in us. We confess that we live so often as if we were not filled with your breath, as if we were not animated by your Spirit. We so often live exhausted lives when we could live breathing your Spirit. But we exist choking on our fear, on feeble faith, uncertainty and pain. We could live filled with your love and energy, yet we exist deflated and gasping. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, God of infinite patience. Forgive us for not breathing in and breathing out your love and care for us, as for all the world. Forgive us for holding our breath when you want to fill us in every moment. Forgive us. Amen. You're right. Thank you, Vic. Just a quick word of prayer before the readings. Very pertinent. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. This is love. This is forgiveness. This is truth.
Reading from Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candite, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was seated in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone will explain it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This was the message of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
The second reading is from 1 John 4, 7 to 21, entitled "Love One Another as God Loved Us." Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And the third reading from the Gospel, John 15:1-8, about the true vine and the fruitful branches. Jesus is speaking. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. God of love, take what we give here as you take us, in love, grace and care. May what we give here and what we give in other ways and places be a flourishing of the world of truth and goodness for all. Amen. And David, we pray for you as you give the word. May you speak clearly and boldly what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, gives to you for our benefit. Go for it.
Thank you, Gordon. Today our message for the fifth Sunday of Easter is part of our gospel lesson, which Gordon read just previously, and it's John 15, verse 4. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, so you can do nothing without me. Remaining in Christ. As we settle back to hear what God has to say to us today, I would suppose that most of us are hoping that we will hear some comfort and encouraging news to help get us through the struggles of this past week and to make a new start for this coming week. And our gospel reading doesn't let us down. Jesus has words of comfort and encouragement for us today. I am the vine, Jesus said, and you are the branches. Remain in me, or as in another translation, abide in me. That sounds very secure and warm. And we could use some security and comfort because this life presents us with our fair share of troubles and insecurities. Abide in me. It's a nice image of what it can be like to following Jesus. It's a picture, much like the one we had last Sunday, of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd, he says. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The image of a shepherd lovingly carrying a lamb and guiding his flock to safe green pastures is certainly a comforting and pleasant image to have of Jesus. Psalm 1 speaks about the person who is rooted in God like a tree planted in a stream, a tree that cannot be uprooted, a tree that stands sure and solid because its roots firm and secure in the riverbank of the watering of a flowing stream. The psalm reads, happy are those who are like trees that grow beside a stream. They succeed in everything they do. What a wonderful thought, safe and secure, grafted in the Lord. We long for that kind of security and we find it in Jesus. Today we hear Jesus' image of a vine. He is the vine, his Father is the gardener, and we are the branches, he says. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Jesus uses the word remain or abide 8 times in those few verses, so I think he is trying to make a point. By repeating the word for abide or remain, he is stressing the relationship, the correctedness that needs to exist between the vine and the branch, between Jesus and us. We cannot live a complete life without remaining in Christ. In a relationship with Christ, there is hope. There is comfort. There is strength to face the unknown. There is forgiveness when we are hard on ourselves or our failures. There is light when there is only darkness. There is a reason for doing something even when it's hard going and everyone else has given up. There is love that will cause us to do something exciting and amazing for others. Jesus said, remain united in me, and I will remain united in you. There is something cozy and comfortable about that, and at the same time, something exciting and adventurous. Being close to Jesus and having Jesus close to us, that's a great feeling. He is continually present. There is a constant connection like a branch on a vine. His life and our lives are intertwined. But Jesus doesn't stay with this cozy feeling. This is where it starts to get more challenging. Because I go on, let me first ask, what is the purpose of a grapevine? Is it to give shade? Is it a kind of plant that you put in your front garden as a feature? Silly questions, really, because we all know that if we plant a grapevine in our gardens, the only reason to do so is because we want to harvest some grapes. And for the branches of the vine to grow fruit that is rich and beautiful and delicious, the branches must be connected to the vine and be nourished by the vine. There is a relationship here between the branch and the vine. Fruitfulness is a natural consequence of the relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit. He does not say those who work their guts out at being fruitful or being loving, just, peaceful, gentle, self-controlled, patient, etc., will be doing so find themselves connected to me. The equation runs the other way around. We strengthen by our connection to Jesus Christ, be grafted firmly onto the vine, draw deeply on the sap that is God's Spirit, and you will be fruitful. There are some Christians who have taken the attitude that living the Christian life, bearing good fruit, is just a matter of pure determination, right attitude and willpower, and they can produce loving and gentle behaviour and a generous, positive and compassionate attitude toward other people. All that is required is some good motivation and just a little bit of help from Jesus and the church for good measure if needed. That's some Aussie style of Christianity. You know, the independent, do-it-yourself, not too religious kind of person. And some people do a pretty good job of it, for a while. With no real connection to Jesus, they set about becoming the most Christ-like people they can be. Polite, gentle, generous, cheerful, reliable, and forgiving. They are remarkable. They keep it up for a while, even years, but if there is no connection to the vine, no ability to draw on the life-giving sap of the Spirit, then sooner or later the energy is gone. Unfortunately, I've seen vibrant, active Christians fall suddenly like a branch on one of those gum trees outside. We see what happens to a branch that is snapped off, completely or is broken, and hangs by a few fibres for a while. The once green and supple branch becomes dry and lifeless and snaps at the first pressure of too temptation. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. Likewise, without the relationship, that connection with Jesus is only takes a small puff of wind, a small issue or test, and the branch snaps off completely. Faith and its fruit are lost. You see, being connected to Jesus makes us more resilient, more willing to be tolerant, less judgmental, more willing to forgive, more open to guidance from others and from the Holy Spirit, more willing to accept the failings of others and less likely to lose it when our opinion differs from others. Connected to Jesus, the vine, we are more supple. We can get bent out of shape and not break. It is easier to knock back Satan's temptations when connected to Christ, and when we give in, it's easier to bounce back because we know that we belong to him and are joined to him in baptism and receive assurance that forgiveness in Holy Communion, which we will celebrate later. Whatever life throws at us, it's easier to face connected to Jesus, the vine. Without the vital nutrients of the vine, we would become brittle and break. Jesus said, those who do not remain in me are thrown out like a branch and dry up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire where they are burned. When the connection with the vine has been severed and there is no fruit, the branches are useless. If there is no fruit, and there is no results from our discipleship, then there is a cost to pay. The question remains, how do we remain connected to the vine, Jesus, so that we are able to bear good fruit? Firstly, as we have said, it is to realise that a branch doesn't grow itself. It comes from the vine. It's part of the vine, and it can't exist separately from the vine. The branch has no life without the vine. Likewise, as Christians, we have no life apart from Christ. We are uniquely and intimately interconnected with Christ. At any time, when that connection becomes anything less than what Jesus intends it to be, then you can be certain there is something happening in our lives that is choking our relationship with Jesus. That leads me to the second point. Jesus talks about the gardener cleaning up the useless foliage on the vines. If there is something that is stopping us from bearing fruit, it is all the useless foliage in our lives that needs to be cut away. We may think this foliage makes us look attractive, especially to the world, but will not help us in any way to bear fruit that will bring glory to God. We may think that to be successful in business, we need to have a zeal that rides roughshod over people. We have no regard for the feelings of people or their needs. We may think that to be successful, we need to trust no one. Look out for ourselves first. Take what you can get, or else someone else will get it first. We may think that we are winning our children's favour by giving in to their every want and whim. To bear the kind of fruit that Jesus is looking for means to prune away all this foliage so that the Holy Spirit can cause real fruit to grow, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, and self-control. Thirdly, how do we remain connected to the vine, Jesus? The answer is this. We can't do it by ourselves. Like a branch on the vine, we need the nutrients that come from the vine in order to be happy, healthy, and fruitful. Those nutrients that we need come to us in the form of God's words and sacraments. They are the key ingredients for us as Christians and a need constantly supply for our well-being. That's why the regular attendance at worship is so important. When we are gathered here, feeling withered and drooping, Jesus takes us and regrafts us into himself, refreshes us with his word and his sacraments. It's here the green shoots and leaves begin to sprout. Reading and studying the Bible and devotions are essential. When we read and listen to God's promises, we are given the strength and vitality that are necessary for our survival as Christians. The Bible helps us choose what is God's way and what is the world's way. When things go wrong for us, God's word gives us the assurance of Jesus' love and the joy and peace that comes from knowing that we can face anything with him by our side. In baptism and in Holy Communion, we are certain of the special relationships that Jesus has with us and the special relationship and intimate love that he has for each and every one of us, even when we let him down so badly. We are loved and forgiven, and so we are able to love and to forgive others in turn, bear the fruit that is essential part of our Christian life. Remain in me, Jesus encourages. I will do the rest. My life will flow into you, and you will find all that you have been searching for and much more. Take time to read through these verses again from John 15 slowly. They are words that bring encouragement and comfort, but they also lead us to acknowledge that too often we become disconnected from the life-giving nutrients of the vine, Jesus. May these words of Jesus lead us to be fruitful branches, deeply grafted in Jesus and the vine, and bear fruit to the glory of God. Amen.
grace and love divine. Never worthy, never earning, all my works now left behind. Ever onwards, ever upwards,
come to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we give thanks for your great love which abides in us. Your love gives us a home, an identity and a purpose. Your love casts out all fear and enables us to love others as we have first been loved. For this wonderful and amazing gift, we're truly grateful. In thanksgiving for love that knows no bounds, we offer our prayer. Loving God, as we abide in your love, we bring before you the concerns of our hearts. We pray for places of war and famine where children feel forgotten and unloved. Grant them peace and well-being. Bring our hearts and hands to bear that our prayers and lives are one. We think particularly of the Anzacs. We thank you for their selfless giving as they went to war. Not just the great wars, but all the wars since. We ask that you would help those who have loved ones who've not returned and loved ones who've come back scarred physically, emotionally, and psychologically. We ask that you'd help them to cope with those changes in their lives. We pray for our nation. Here in this place, we can feel fragmented and divided. Grant us community and wholeness. May your church be part of the healing and bridge building that is needed. We pray for our community. We are loved and loving. Help us to remember this always and to abide in you. Quieten our fears about relevance and attendance of worship, and instead set our hearts on fire for you as we deepen our discipleship. We pray for ourselves. There are times when we feel broken and unable to love. Heal our hearts and open us up to one another, that we might support one another along life's way. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now, let's rise as we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us have a prayer of praise and thanks prior to our celebration of Holy Communion. God, we thank you that, as the scriptures say, it is not that we love you, but that you love us and came to us in Jesus. This is our hope. This is our joy. This is the good news that is for everyone, everywhere. Thank you for your love. Amen. And the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Please note for visitors that there's gluten-free wafers available if you need them, just indicate to me. And people who do not wish to partake of the bread and wine for whatever reason are still welcome to come forward and receive a blessing. You may indicate this choice by folding your arms across your chest. The peace of the Lord be with us always. Come, for everything is ready.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adored. Mortals give thanks and sing in triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice. Took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His
at God's right hand till all his foes submit and bow to his command and fall beneath his feet. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, Jesus the judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. We soon shall hear the angel's voice, the trump of God shall sound. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice again, I say, you're my
worship you.
Prayer of thanks. Loving Heavenly Father, you sent your Son Jesus Christ to reconcile the world to yourself. As we have received his body and blood, keep us united with him so that we may bear the fruit of love. We ask this through your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us be upstanding for our final song. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
For her life he died. He led
May the love of God that is wider, deeper, and stronger than you can ever know guide and guard you this day. May the love of Christ, companion with us on the road, travel with you. May the love of the Spirit of God so infuse every part of your life that you know the presence of God now and always. Go in peace. Go in hope. Go in love. Amen.